Welcome back to Azure and the Enterprise. I'm Lyle Dodge. Today with me, I have Wasif Jamal from Microsoft IT. Wasif, nice to meet you today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us what you do for Microsoft IT?
Sure. The team name is Global Capacity Services. The different parts of team, there is the labs component, where we manage all the lab operations for all the product groups worldwide.
So that means all the labs and all of our campuses, facilities across all geos, continents?
Correct.
Okay.
Which basically means we provide all the site facility services, all the basic data center-like operations, but not in data centers.
Okay.
The second part of the team is really all the product group engagement, which is also focused on the lab. So with each product group, we spend a lot of time understanding the lab needs. Mm-hmm. What are their future roadmaps to either adopt Azure or to go to shared services like any shared data centers or just deprecate their legacy footprint? So to understand and drive all the lab needs, that's the second part of the function that we have. The third part is a similar thing, but now onto the data centers, because we also have in my organization the same function for all the data centers with enterprise IT sets. So we have footprint in North America, in EMEA, in APAC, where we provide all the basic demand forecasting, all the platform deployment, all the procurement for all the compute storage services for the enterprise IT. So the function is pretty much those parts of activities are all around the on-premise businesses.
So just to clarify here, so you know, you say there's a lot of lab stuff that you work on.
Right.
There's also this other organization in Microsoft called Microsoft Cloud and Infrastructure Organization, MCIO.
MCIO, correct.
So they own the actual buildings where like Azure and Xbox and Bing
right.
run products on.
Correct.
And so you guys handle, you may rent space from them.
Correct.
For some of your labs, or you know, it may be labs in, you know, into the Windows buildings where yeah. they need local engineering resources.
That's a good, there's a clarifying question here is, so MCIO is primarily responsible for managing all the enterprise data center footprint. For any online properties like Azure, Bing, Office 365, or any internal teams like Microsoft IT in this case, there's a separate organization in Microsoft called RENF, Real Estate and Facilities Organization. Mm-hmm. They manage all the campus buildings.
Yep.
And bulk of our labs today exist within campus buildings. So our partnership, when we have to go back and build or upgrade or retrofit a lab, it is primarily with RENF. So my org then has two basically landlords in the back end, MCIO for all the enterprise level data center operations, and then RENF for all the facilities aspect, because that's where most of the labs are today.
Okay.
The other part of the org is all the financial consumption management for on-premise and Azure. So there's a lot of appetite in this changing hybrid environment. How do we think about the cost modeling, cost recovery, consumption management for Azure services that we're using across the enterprise. So all of those activities and the tooling that comes along with it is also part of my function. So we're kind of the interface providing those services back to IT and to the MCIO and CNE.
So we're kind of, you function as kind of customer zero
mm-hmm.
for the product groups that are trying to figure out what are the needs of the enterprise and what are the business needs that you have. For kind of customer one, who are the people that we actually work with quite often. We spend a lot of time working with other customer one enterprise mm-hmm. shops and in seeing their demand. So, mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like when, you know, when we look at these things, you know, you have lots of labs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at, you know, when you're trying to level up the labs or bring them together or across all the labs, what are the things that you care about when you're trying to rationalize and all of these different labs and their needs?
Yeah, good question in a way, because a lot of the learnings in the labs and the data centers are the thought process, the way we tackle the problem is pretty similar. So we'll draw similarities and parallels across both domains. Just like IT, enterprise IT is all hands driving their traditional legacy workloads to Azure. Mm-hmm. So the journey we are going through is understanding the patterns and the different workload types, different application behaviors, and say, how do we either do an optimized IaaS or a rewrite into PaaS over time so we can reduce our on-premise footprint. Mm-hmm. Well, the conversation does not change when we go to the lab side. It is
It kind of sounds like, you know, we had these classical needs of a CIO and a COO to manage cost containment on premise. You know, when we went from the physical era to virtual machines, and we had hypervisors, and now, you know, going to the cloud doesn't mean that, you know, everything's magical. We still have those.
It becomes even more important because right now we are in the middle of a classic hybrid enterprise. If you think about, we have still on-premise business, which has residual costs associated with it, like on-premise data center hosting, our depreciation, our maintenance and repair bills. So a lot of cost still is on-premise. Mm-hmm. We also have a healthy Azure footprint as we speak. So there's a cost that comes through the consumption of those resources, which is very different pattern than any of us in the legacy enterprises used to. It is not once a month, once a year. It is every minute of the service we consume, there's a cost to pay.
And it's probably a little different when you know, classic organizations are used to yearly or three-year budget planning, dealing with depreciation, and now all of a sudden it's a monthly OPEX.
It's
and
OPEX.
You don't have these depreciation bow waves that cause havoc in planning cycles and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the benefit. I mean, the beauty of this whole thing is it's real time, it is consumption driven, and it is OPEX. We're dealing with one currency only. Mm-hmm. So no longer you have to plan across the capital and the depreciation and carry the burdens of the decisions of the past for the next 3 to 5 years. So if you don't want to use it, dial it down. But then it brings this the need of this function or the need where you are constantly managing and looking at the enterprise level your cost consumption drivers, your behaviors, and what is and what is not driving the cost, so that we can accurately forecast and manage our financial liabilities. Because as a CIO or COO, that accountability hasn't shifted. We're still held against a budget.
Yep.
So on-premise or Azure, you still have to find a way to effectively manage the resources which are driving the cost day to day.
And so when we've kind of moved from this on-premise to the cloud, we've had decades of cost models, of financial planning, you know, models that we can use to very accurately say when we went from physicals to virtuals, there was still an OS, we still had patching, all these other things. What kinds of issues have we seen when, you know, in issues, benefits have we seen when we've migrated, let's say, from SQL Server on a virtual machine over to the PaaS models? You know, in what are the kind of the nuances there, especially when you look at SQL Premium versus SQL Standard?
Yeah, I think one area that comes up, one question and one topic that comes up all the time in all our EBCs and customer engagement is cost comparison. Is on-premise cheaper versus Azure? Is Azure cheaper versus on-premise? I think that, and the fact of the matter is it depends. It's relative to the way and any organization you have developed your legacy infrastructure and what cost components went into it and versus what services you are using into Azure.
Yeah.
But it's very challenging in the on-premise world to do a full-on accurate cost modeling. And we have been in the cost modeling business for many, many years. The challenge is the cost is blended and distributed across so many different verticals that to do a full total cost of ownership is challenging. So
within different orgs, across different
divisions.
Different
orgs, the data center cost is burdened by a different entity. So we just pay a relatively manageable portion of the cost of the overall cost of ownership of running a legacy enterprise. Challenge it creates when you go to Azure or any cloud services, there is the immediate comparison comes up. Hey, why my SQL P1 is not as compared to what I was paying on SQL on-premise? Well, the cost is not comparable. So Azure on the other side has a fully burdened cost model, which any service provider will have. So we go through those gyrations a lot. So I think the way we tackle the problem is if we can optimize, if we can right size for the right SKUs, we see benefits. We are either same or better in many cases for what we were spending on premise. But on the surface, it may not look, but you have to be conscious and spend some time understanding the cost drivers. And then we found optimization and efficiency opportunities.
And so, you know, some of those optimizations, for example, you guys have run tools and processes that go through our subscription footprint and our consumption footprint and use the Azure usage APIs to go figure out, you know, and say build reports for our internal customers' development teams where they have, hey, this group of SQL Azure instances are at a P3, P4, and their 95th percentile is very low.
Right.
And so, here's the direct click URL to go change that in the portal so you can go do it.
Correct.
And so that's, those are the kind of things that I think you guys are developing that other customer one enterprises are, and you guys work with the product group quite a bit.
Correct.
And so I think we're, since we're internal, we get to kind of play with some of these preview things a few months before they come out to public preview. And I think we're seeing a lot of cool stuff from them coming out here.
And that's an interesting area. That's a fascinating area. We are evolving literally on a daily basis. It is, again, the appetite has changed. We are no longer a business where we'll look at the bill once a month, or we'll do forecasting once a year, and we'll build our capacity once a quarter.
Now, it used to be if you wanted to spin up, an HD Insight cluster, you had to go get a big physical server.
Yeah, and you buy a physical server.
You had these lead times in procurement that people could go gate check these, and now somebody can go spin up something that costs $5,000 a day, and if they want to, they can go do it.
Correct. But I think that brought the need to provide tooling and the reporting for you as a consumer to see real-time consumption. To your point, you can go in a minute and spin up a P11, the most expensive SQL premium SKU we have out there. So the cost will start pouring the minute you turn it on. So as a consumer, you have now the need to say, hey, I want to see my cost and the consumption real time. So we work with the product group. As a customer zero, we work with the product group and many third-party providers to identify either third-party solutions like Cloud Cruiser or Cloud In or Cloud Check or Cloud Health Check to say, hey, where we can fill in the gap for the real-time reporting and consumption. Plus, we also use some homegrown Power BI to tap into our different optimization efforts, like on the IaaS or SQL side, to bring an aggregate reporter for you. So you can go log in, you can see your subscription, you can see how much you're consuming.
And you can see your IaaS VMs.
Yeah, you can see your IaaS VMs, your PaaS footprint, you can see your SQL footprint, and you can take some action based on the cost trends that are interesting or may not sound right the way you're trying to use the service. So we had to build a lot of those to be able to satisfy the appetite, again, which wasn't there in the on-premise legacy business. So those are the net new things that I think an org like us, Cloud MS, have to step in to help people onboard or adopt Azure services in a more faster pace. And I think any enterprise of our size and scale will have to go through the similar challenges.
Yeah. And so, we were talking a bit earlier about being able to figure out which SKU is the right size or which process. So I want to kind of look through some of the trending stuff that you guys have done from your data science efforts. And so this is a graph here that shows the G-Series demand trends that we've seen on behalf of our IT customer base. Can you kind of walk me through, what you guys have seen and what this has helped you build better models on?
So that's a good point. One of the things I forgot to mention, what we do is we play like an aggregation role. So for Azure services, my team will aggregate the demand of all the different services for all the different regions. So when we go to Azure, we provide one consolidated demand signal for them. In that spirit, the challenge we run into is
we're a pretty big enterprise customer.
Right.
We, regardless of any provider we use, we want to provide a good demand signal.
And I think
in the cloud.
It helps the service provider because once they get an aggregated, a bigger demand signal, they can plan their capacity data center international deployments better. So I think it helps both parties to be on time.
They can't just push a button and have a data center turns up somewhere.
The discipline of capacity management hasn't gone away. It just shifted from a traditional CIO over to a cloud provider. So they still have to go through the same set of efforts. So when you look at our job and our role now, data science becomes a very core component from a skill set perspective because in many of the Azure services, we do not have enough historical trend. We have the behaviors.
We've been doing SQL on IaaS and SQL on-premise for a while, but it's not very
deep and mature where we can come back and build a 5 or 7 year historical trend model to predict the future consumption. So data science allow us to build predictive, prescriptive models with more statistical and other variables and less about all the historical trend that you and I had the luxury to build on the legacy environment.
Yeah.
So in this case, the G-Series is one of our very expensive SKU.
Mm-hmm.
So we take a look at to say what is the overall aggregated demand behavior for the G SKUs for enterprise IT. And there are multiple SKUs if you look at it. There are multiple SKUs that have been consumed over different time. And if we look at the aggregated pattern and behavior to say at any given time, are there any specific SKUs that people are gravitating towards more than the others? And we can clearly
see in SKUs that people tried out and then they realized
it's not going to work for them, it doesn't meet the perf needs, or it's not available in the particular geo. So in this case, these two SKUs are definitely trending up month over month. So when we go back to Azure team, we provide them the demand forecast representing the actual SKUs that people are using. And I think that's where data science comes in. We apply the same skill for our SKU prediction. We apply the same skill for our financial target management. We provide the same for any Uber capacity management for any region that we need to be in. Mm-hmm. So it is one of the skills we have to use. It will become very important in the coming months and years to be able to build rich predictive models for the services.
So this kind of speaks to the capacity planning aspects and then the supply chain of their upstream partners in the product group. And how does this kind of land where we're looking at another chart here, kind of looking at our SQL Azure costs? You were saying, you know, these predictive models help us figure out what we're going to spend more accurately.
Correct.
And I think, you know, as we were looking here, before we had really good predictive models, and you're trying to forecast out 1 year, 3 years, I need this much budget next year, and we have this volatility in the system.
Right.
It probably helps the fact that you're not necessarily throwing a dart against a dartboard when you know the dartboard's on this wall, but you can't really say like.
Yeah, I think the fundamental shift is when we shift from the on-premise to Azure, there's a notion of decentralization. So in the classic on-premise world, all the capital management, the demand management, how much we need to buy, when do we need to buy, it is managed centrally through one arm. It is easier to build predictive models and to drive the demand forecast for different data center services. In the world of DevOps, in the world of Azure, where are a lot of the services are self-serve, building or understanding the demand trends and behaviors is very challenging. So where the financial management comes in, we will have to go back and say, look, at the end of the day, a CIO is still held to a budget, right or wrong. We still have to manage our bottom line and financial liabilities as a steward of our company. The challenge we faced all along is the budget targets and allocations were done independently to what we were providing the demand forecast to Azure in this case. And so if I am the Azure team, I am trying to build my data center services and my SKUs and all the different regions based on a demand signal that is totally disconnected from my financial forecast and financial target. So, and that created a lot of hot and cold spots for us. So we are now merging it together. So as an enterprise, our demand forecast for Azure services is in alignment with what is our financial target for any given year. So we are not over forecasting for any services unnecessarily, or we are not asking Azure to build services in the regions that we do not have any business to go with, or we do not have financial resources to spin up. And that's the chart that shows where we use the data scientists, and you can look, we literally reduce the demand for this particular SQL Azure in this instance, worldwide, from 15 to 12, just in a matter of looking at, say, look, I think this isn't right. And we apply the data scientist lens, and we reduce the demand forecast to help Azure be more on time. So I think I think data science in general is a skill and which is going to be very important for us to continue to build a better predictive demand consumption forecast model in the world that we're walking in.
And so, kind of to summarize, you know, it's. We went through a lot of these changes when we went from physicals to virtuals. Mm-hmm. And now when we go from our on-premise footprints to the myriad of all these fantastic services, there are many different ways to do things in Azure. The CIO concerns are still front and center. Mm-hmm. And we're just working on, hey, how do we aggregate that enterprise demand? Mm-hmm. How do we partner with the product group to build nice tools with them and do the signal management to them?
Yeah, I think that's where our conversation earlier on when we touched upon the what's the role of CIO and what's the role of an org like Cloud MS? The components that drove the viability of an enterprise in terms of security management, your standards and compliance, your governance around the consumption of the resources, those disciplines or the responsibilities in them in itself haven't changed.
Yeah.
But how we do them in the Azure hybrid world is evolving. So where an org like us come in, we may not have direct control of executing some of those activities, like when it comes to patching or when it comes to managing the actual standards on a box. But to provide the consultation and to provide the APIs, provide services, and provide some scripted policies and standards that people can use on their own, it's just a shift.
Yeah.
So we still have the responsibility to provide
security
the
still cares if things are encrypted at rest and encrypted in transit, but
correct.
Now we're building, you know, ARM templates and other things with them so that when developers want to go build something, they've already got something that does that out of the box for them as opposed to
a secure enterprise on-prem or in Azure. That concept hasn't gone away, and that responsibility is still there.
Yeah.
So how do we provide a secure way of managing all these different way we consume capacity today, through the express routes, through PaaS services, through SaaS service, through IS, it is becoming more complex if I'm in the information security discipline today. But nonetheless, some of the fundamental elements of the IT management haven't changed. It's different players, different parties, different ways of getting those done. And I think that's where a lot of the maturity and the focus is for us and for the enterprise as a whole.
And I think in one of our future episodes here in the next few weeks, we'll be talking to some of the people on your team and the BI team that have built a lot of these reports that help our developers and application and service owners self-serve and do some really cool things. So, Wasif, I'd like to thank you for your time today. I think
thank
this was a lot of fun, and there's a lot of concerns that I think, you know, we enterprises have a lot of the same concerns, and we figured out a lot of this, and it's nothing new, it's different.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
We're on a journey. I think it's been a great learning for the last few years. We continue to learn every day and partner with our internal product teams and our customers to see what scenarios and what challenges we need to go solve for. But it's a space which is rapidly evolving, and I think we're just happy to have the opportunity to have an impact in this space. So no, thanks for the time. Thanks for the opportunity, and feel free to reach out if you have any more questions.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be doing some more.
Sure.
So thanks, and we'll see you on the next Azure in the Enterprise.